Well, good morning, and I do promise to keep this brief because there's a lot of us that need to speak today. But this being Covenant Signing Sunday, I decided not to talk about the body and what it means to be part of that because Jerry spoke about that last week. But I want to speak a little bit what is a covenant? And I want to look at just two things about a covenant. A couple things that I just want to address these two things before we commence with the signing. The first one is, what is a covenant? Simply, what is it? And the second thing, why do many of us have problems with covenants, whether it's here or in other areas of our lives? Why do we have such problem with signing on the dotted line? Well, number one, what is a covenant? And I went to the dictionary and to look. Well, what's Mr. Webster say about a covenant? And here's what it is. As a noun, it's a solemn agreement that is binding on all parties. So, plainly speaking, it's something that's wrote down on a piece of paper. Basically, I guess it could be on your word, too. But it's a solemn agreement. It's an agreement on what is going to happen, whether it's the sale of a house or even a marriage certificate, a wedding, that's a covenant. So it's that solemn agreement that you make, and it's binding on all parties. And then there's another side to it where it's a verb, and it's simply to promise something in a covenant. So the verb is simply you agreeing to what the covenant says. The covenant is a person, place, or thing, the thing itself. And the verb part of it is the action that I take on that covenant. So that, in a nutshell, is what a covenant is. I decided to look into the scripture and I looked up the word covenant. You know, there's over 300 references in all of scripture that talks about a covenant. Over 300, depending which version you use. Some were in the 320s and 330s, and some just a little less than 300, but around 300 references to this idea of covenants. Now, most of those references had to do with God and his promises to us. Many, many. I didn't do the count, and I didn't have time to count out and divide out 300 covenants. But by just lightly scanning over, most or a good portion of them were God making a covenant with his people. And to me, I like that. That feels good. I like when God promises to do things for me. Yet there's also references in Scripture that have to do with making covenants with each other. Chronicles 2:23. Actually, I think it's 2 Chronicles 23 is what it is. I wrote it down wrong. And I'm not going to read the whole passage, but it has to do with, I think it was a wicked queen. I better look it up here so I can pronounce it. Athaliah. The wicked queen Athaliah had all the royal family killed. And I'm just going to really summarize the story. But she had the whole royal family killed, except somebody stole away this child and kept it hidden for a number of years. After some time, the people rose up against this wicked queen, and the king was crowned, the little boy child was crowned, they brought him out, the wicked queen was brought in, and they took her out and they killed her. And here's what I want to get to. Said, take her out between the ranks and put anyone who follows her to death by the sword. For the priest had said, do not put her to death in the Lord's temple. So they arrested her, and she went out to the entrance of the horse's gate to the king's palace, where they put her to death. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself and the king. So there was agreement between the king and his servant. They had some kind of agreement that they would be the Lord's people. So all the people went to the temple of Baal. So they made this agreement between each other that they're going to be the Lord's people. They went out and tore to the temple of Baal and they tore it down. They broke its altars and the images into pieces and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, at the altars. Then Jehoiada put the oversight of the Lord's temple into the hands of the Levitical priests whom David had anointed over the Lord's temple to offer burnt offerings to the Lord as it is written in the law of Moses. Then they put into place all these things in the temple to take care of it. And then at the end of the chapter, it says again that they covenanted together to be the Lord's people. There was some kind of covenant that they made together as a people that they're going to follow the Lord. You know, God takes our covenants seriously. Malachi 2:13 says this, "And the second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears." So he's talking to the Lord's people. The first thing, I forget what it was, but he said, you cover the altar with tears. You come here to the temple and you plead for God's mercy and grace and all that, and you weep all over the place. You cover the Lord's altar with tears and weeping and groaning because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Malachi 2:14 then says, but you say, why does he not? And he gives the answer, because the Lord is witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by what? Covenant. God takes our covenant seriously. That's just one example of the marriage covenant. Galatians 3:15 refers to a man-made covenant. And I'm not going to go there, but it talks about a man-made covenant. So covenants are as old as the world itself. So something has changed in recent history, as there seems to be a growing aversion to religious covenants. Yet we as people gladly make covenants with unbelievers. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have home mortgages? That's making a covenant between you and an unbeliever. How many of you had take out vehicle loans? You sign on the dotted line. That's a covenant. You get the vehicle, you covenant to pay it, you promise to pay it back. Making covenant. We don't have a problem with making covenants with unbelievers. Even marriage is a covenant. And we know what's happening with marriages in the United States. And I wonder why. Here's what I believe is happening. Our view of God has changed. See, God is no longer that holy, supreme creator being that he used to be. Oh, he still is. Just in our minds, he has changed. See, God has become someone that's there to serve me. He's that big Santa Claus in the sky. He's there to serve me. He's there to make me happy. And because of that view of God switching from the holy, supreme God that we're supposed to worship to somebody that's supposed to take care and make me happy, is why we have what we have. Divorce, cohabitation, non-commitment at almost every level of life. Brothers and sisters, this should not be. See, God has designed us as human beings to live in accountability with each other. God has never, from the beginning, has designed it that we live in accountability relationships with each other. Never has wanted us to live by ourselves and live under no accountability. And it doesn't matter if we talk about marriage, work, church. You know, it's Satan's idea to separate us out and decide that we can live our own little lives. That's Satan's idea. To separate us out and make us independent instead of interdependent. Proverbs 18:1 speaks to that. It says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. So God has designed that we live interdependent. That we live in accountability relationships with each other. So what we have this morning, what we're doing, we have this covenant. This is the contract, if you will. This is the mortgage or the loan agreement. This is the covenant, the noun, the thing which lays out the specifics coupled with our articles of faith and practice. And by signing this covenant, by signing it, we are covenanting or agreeing together, the verb, the action part of it, that what is in here, coupled with our faith and practice, like Jerry said, we're not all at the same place, but we're agreeing that's the direction we're going. We spent much time years ago looking through the Bible and saying, what does God, how does God want us to live in certain areas of our lives? And everybody needs to do that, whether you do it individually as groups of people. Every church does that. And that's then the document that we came up with. It's not a perfect document. It's definitely not a perfect church. Not a perfect articles of faith and practice. Not a perfect covenant. We're not a perfect people. One day, we'll be perfect. But we won't be here. I know it's not perfect. If I was in this church by myself, I would do things a little differently in some areas. And each one of you would do the same thing. But since we're a melting pot from many areas of the country, many walks of life, we have to have something that kind of brings us together. That's what we're covenanted to do this morning. Say, here's what we're striving towards.